Amen. What a lady. I call her the Grand Lady of Pentecost. Amen. Would you make welcome to Sister Vesta Mangan from Alexandria?
Oh, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Well, we just heard a masterpiece. That was a masterpiece. I would buy that tape just to get all of that history, besides Bible history and the philosophy that he was trying to give to us. And that is our philosophy. And if you're not in the redemption business, then you're in the wrong business. I love it. I love it. I'm the luckiest woman on planet Earth to know it and to be able to help distribute it. It's the most powerful commodity ever put into human hands. If you ever sit down and try to count the cost of what's in your hands, I wouldn't let the Lord come and catch it with my in my hands. I'd get rid of it. And every one of you are capable. We don't need 1,000 or 15,000 people here tonight. We just need a few on fire that catch that message, that get a hold of that message. No, just clapping your hands and doing that. Let me use the language of the street. That ain't going to do it. That ain't going to do it. You shout all you want to in here, yell and scream and talk in tongues. This belongs outside these doors. That's what I'm going to put my money on. That's why I go to church. I believe in this. I believe it. It's real. It's more than a little sermonette. A few little Christianettes. This belongs to the whole world, and they're hungry for it. They're hungry for it. I sat by a doctor, a woman, next to my right on the plane. I always wait for a chance. I'm a lady, and my God is a gentleman, and I don't override, and I don't make people feel uncomfortable. But I've got something that will fit the hole in their heart. And they've got a hole in their heart. And I wait for an opportunity. And when she began telling me about how she runs and how she exercises, she's a famous doctor in New Orleans, Louisiana. And when the Lord helped me to weave my way into her life, I have her whole name and all of her children's names over there in my purse that I intend to pray for her. She has my number. She will call me any hour of the day or night. I'm praying for those in Alexandria that God has let me get into their lives, but they're not through with me yet, and I'm not through with them. This belongs to everybody. It doesn't just belong to you. It doesn't just belong to you. This belongs to everybody. Well, I've got a message. But I believe in this redemption business. I believe in it. I'm putting every egg I've got in this basket. This costs something. I'm not talking about this physical building. I'm talking about the church of the living God that was born out of his side. Water and blood. You're in the church of the living God. You've got the power of his resurrection inside of you. And like I told him, because of the times, if you'll let him out, he'll get all over everybody around you. Well, you may be seated. You know Mark Morgan, don't you? He's a great preacher, isn't he? Well, if you all ever get tired of him, we'll take him in Alexandria. Because that place loves him. Every time pastor announces that he's coming, they all just stand and clap their hands. And when he gets there, he just mauls us good and rolls us around and makes us glad he came. And Brother Hughes, you're the best. You're just the best. And I don't know what we'd all do without that little man right over there that's just running around, tending to everything, bragging on everybody, building everybody up. That's a great young man. I will not leave here tonight feeling ashamed of myself that I was too fervent, too earnest, too fanatical. If anything, it will be for not being earnest enough about the living God and people that's lost and going to hell. Most of them. Most of them. Loving souls and about the salvation of all of us. I want to be saved myself. And I'm not taking it for granted just because I got the Holy Ghost when I was almost six and was baptized in this wonderful, great, magnificent, marvelous name of Jesus Christ that belongs to the whole world. Belongs to the whole world. You ought to be baptizing them on the streets. You ought to be telling everybody about the one that was hanged between two thieves, stranded between heaven and earth. And all one man was capable of doing was turning his head and saying, "Remember me." And he did. He said, "Today, you're going with me." I'm telling you, folks, it's in me. I can't help it. Somewhere or other, we've got to get this out of us. Got to love people and help them to find that love, because nothing can separate you from His love. Nobody here could define it. Nobody can tell you about that love. Oh, so tonight, I don't really know how to tell you that when I stand in airports, malls, huge gatherings of people, and see the vast crowd of people being swept along towards the Gulf of eternity, bound for heaven or hell. They're just two spots. That's where everybody's going to wind up. I wonder how I can be as calm as I am. In 5 weeks, we'll celebrate Palm Sunday. Thank you. And then Easter. And then Gethsemane Cup. We'll take communion. And there were his apostles leaned up against a tree when he asked them to watch and pray with me for just 1 hour. But they missed it. See, they missed it. And many of us among us were missing it. He's asking us to just come alongside of Him and be partners with Him, ambassadors standing in His stead, doing His business. And He said, "If you'll do my business, I'll take care of your business. If you will, I will." No, you won't want for anything. He'll drive out hornets before you. He'll fix everything for you. He'll heal you. He will bless you. He'll supply your needs. Only heaven will stand behind this, because there's just one gospel. There's just one name. There's just one holy power. It's the power that brought Him out of the grave, and it belongs to everybody. It's the gift that belongs to every human being. It's not yours to keep. So, they went to sleep and they missed it. The drama of the ages. Angels watching. Oh, hell was watching. But the three apostles missed it. That drama. And so, the entire Passion Week, it will tear me up again, and it drives me, motivates me, I tell you. Paul said, he said it constrains me. If something moves you, if you could get moved with just, if without me even going any farther, if you got moved, we'd become a swarm of locusts that could sniff any field. We could do anything. We've got the hot commodities. There's nothing on the market to compete with what we have. Do you understand what I'm saying? We come to church with the 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's all. And then it's over with. We go home and go to bed. Come back again. And they're out there all around us, just waiting for a smile, or a handshake, or somebody to encourage them. Well, let me get on with my. Do you know that two times in that Passion Week, at the beginning and at the end, He cleansed the temple. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I don't care whatever else you do. You won't have a foundation and it will not last unless it's a house of prayer. He said it. I didn't. And he quoted it from Isaiah. And Isaiah added this. For all nations. This belongs to everybody. And you need a redemption center in every city. And we were told here tonight there are hundreds. They don't even have a place to call. So, when they have a heart attack, there's nobody to call. When they get sick, there's nobody to call. So don't condemn me for my earnestness, my passion. Pray for me that it'll consume me more. Because I just got a few more rising suns. I just got a few more sermons to hear. And that constrains me. So, by the way the land is laying, I think I'd be safe in saying, over the next hill, we're going to be home. And that's driving me. That tells me that I'm living in the most dynamic and exciting era of human history. That tells me that great and exciting things ought to be happening all around our world with these people that claim they are the counterpart of the Book of Acts church. Are you kidding? They turned their world upside down. Who are these? Oh, these are they that turned the world upside down. Don't just sit on these pews and clap your hands a little bit once in a while. Please forgive me. I mean this. I'm not making fun. This is my life. This is my life. I know that I'm living in a great and a wonderful time. And there are happenings like pockets of revival here and there. Unbelievable results. Yet we have not experienced the sweeping revival that the Holy Scriptures declare will come. And to reap that great and final harvest, this mighty sweeping revival will be distinguished by a great spiritual awakening. That's beyond revival. That's beyond revival. We need an awakening, even among us, of extraordinary prayer. We need a sovereign, sweeping, spiritual awakening. And tonight, if you would believe it and receive it and make a commitment to it, we could be standing on the front edge of that mighty spiritual awakening. God's ready to bring forth the grand finale of the greatest production of the Spirit of God in the history of the human race. God is waiting on us, you and me. His blood bought, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, endued, imbibed, infused, anointed church that everything has to back up. Everything has to back up. Yes, Brother Mark, God's going to stand behind His purpose because He established it before the foundation of the world. He was crucified for the purpose. Everything is for the purpose. We heard it preached it because of the times. And I said to them, I said, the lions won't eat the purpose. You don't have to get scared and run. You just stand there. God will swallow up the earth with those that try to come against you. They won't make it. This is the purpose that we're in. We're not in this for our purpose. This is God's purpose. And God intends to see His purpose through. Come on and clap your hands, everybody. People of this earth, those who bear His name, entrusted with the whole gospel to the whole world. And again I say, because I don't think we realize what an expensive, unbelievable product that we have to market to the world. I don't believe we understand yet. It's the most powerful force on planet earth. The power of Almighty God inside of you. Don't tell me that it will not work. It will work. It works for me today. I saw a doctor with tears in her eyes looking at me and relating to me some things that she would not have told anybody. I didn't do it. There's something in me. The Ark of the Covenant is inside of me. And everything has to back up. Rivers roll back. Jordan's out of banks. Everything backs up for this Ark of the Covenant. My body is tired tonight, but not this Ark of the Covenant. It makes me smile when I don't want to smile. It makes me get up and clap my hands when I want to sit down. To witness this great outpouring, but also we are to be the vessel. Say, I want to be a vessel through which this mighty power will flow to accomplish it. I want that, Lord, tonight, and I mean it. I mean it with all of my heart. Flow through me tomorrow as I fly home from this place, the Lord willing. Let me sit for somebody else that I can ignite the fires of evangelism in their life. And I don't want to only just witness this. I want it to flow through me. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost, made for worship, the chiefest part of which is prayer. Our bodies are made for prayer. When the Holy Ghost comes to reside in you, you cannot stop praying. The Holy Ghost prays without ceasing. Did you know that? The Holy Ghost prays without ceasing through us. With an uninterrupted communication to God, whether my lips are moving or not. Your very nature becomes a shrine in which the Spirit offers intercessions without ceasing. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Spirit births things. Prayer that comes from God flows through me back to God. I'm sorry. It's the medium of exchange. It's God's currency for His kingdom. God has to have your prayers to do what He's going to do in this city. Pulling down strongholds. Jude calls it praying in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever got so far along when the Spirit was speaking through you and you couldn't even stop it? I have. I don't know whether it's just talking in tongues that's praying through the Holy Ghost, but whatever it is, I want that that's in me. I want it to flow out of me because God put it in me and give it back to Him and He'll pour it out. But there won't be anything to pour out until He flows through me and I send it up to Him. Does that make sense? That's how His economy operates. And He will not operate without that currency. And that currency is prayer. And fasting heightens that and intensifies that prayer. Say, I get it, Sister Mangan. Say, I see what you're talking about. That's not deep. That's not deep. We're just simple people. But God has chosen us out of this dark world. And risked us in this human body that I'm just, I'm a genuine woman. I am a genuine human being. I am that's possible for me to do anything. But He risked that in me. I wish He trusted me with it. I wish I could do more with it than I'm doing and what I've already done. It's not enough. When you think of the cost of what you're going to celebrate 5 weeks from now, the Lord willing, you have no idea. My God became a man. Lived 30 years without recognition, just one honorable mention. And then walked up that hill and died. And went through all of that, snatching it. We can't stay there. All I'm telling you, and then spent most of his nights in prayer for those 3.5 years. While others slept, they went home. John says, the 7th chapter, the 8th verse, first one says, but they all went home, but he went to the mountain to pray. Oh, God, somehow or other, let us catch a vision of this more than just Pentecostalism. You get what I'm saying? If you get what I'm saying, It's beyond your experience. It's the big picture that God called us out to send us back with something that He poured into us that is very contagious. And it is a fire Oh, are you seeing what I'm talking about? Say, you're making me hungry. Say, you're making me want it. You're making me thirsty. I want more of it. If you don't want it, give it to me and I'll do all that I can with it. Praying in the Holy Ghost is a dimension one can scarcely comprehend. It moves mountains, tears down enemy strongholds. If you believe that, you'll do it. Because every one of you have got strongholds in your life. You've got family members that's not saved. I need to spend the rest of my days praying for just, you do too. Say, those that are very, very close to us. They'll hunt you up when you know how to pray. Because everybody's going to have a time that they're going to need somebody to pray. I promised God when Anthony went into the ministry that I'd spend one whole day on his birthday. From 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. I haven't done that this year because we were consumed with that because of the times. But I will before this year is over. But I'm sitting there 5 years ago. 6 o'clock in the morning. I drink water that day. Go home. And I've prayed for him ever since. He's been in the ministry for that whole day. That's his birthday gift. And so I'm sitting there and I'm tired and my back is up against. I got to tell this doctor that today. My back is up against that altar. And I'm looking at the windows there that opens into the prayer room. And I see the shadow of a man. I don't distinguish him. And he comes close and he's walking briskly toward me. And I'm sitting there. And I say, Charlie DeWitt? Is that Charlie DeWitt? His son is a celebrated heart specialist in Alexandria. And he's the senator. And he said, I went by your house and you weren't there and I knew where I could find you. Now, folks, I humbly tell you that, but that's powerful to me. And he sat down by me and he got very close to me. And I said, what's the matter, Charlie? And he said, I've been found with cancer. And I said, your son is a celebrated doctor. I said, he can connect you with Doctors International. He said, but I want something more than that. I said, well, I've got that. And I wish you all would shout at me, I've got it too. I wish you'd shout it, I've got it. And say, I'm doing something with it. And say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wow! Wow! Saying it's working. So I said to him, I said, Senator, I'm not going to embarrass you here in this prayer room, and I know you wouldn't care right now, because I said, since 1970, there's been a chain of 24-hour prayer where they pray in three-hour prayer shifts, and I said, they're all over this plant, and I said, but I'm going to take hold of your hand, and what's inside of me is going to flow through me, through you. I'm going to pray, but God's going to do a great work for you. And so I prayed for him. I got up, hugged him, thanked him for coming, for finding me. He went his way. And he said, I'm leaving for... I said, your son can get you with those famous doctors. He said, I'm leaving for Houston right now, but I didn't want to go till I found you. I said, thank you. And so he goes. That's been 5 years ago. Charlie came back 2 years ago, sat with the VIPs during the Christmas presentation, and he's healed. He's healed. And he gives God all the glory. You know, he tried to identify somebody else. But I told him, I said, hey, you'll get us both in trouble. I said, you got to keep your eyes on him. That's where it came from. He flowed through me. But you knew where to find the well of living water. Yeah, that's where it is. It's in. Woo! Prayer gets to the devil like nothing else we can do. You can't go out there and gather up what has not been knocked down with prayer. You pray it, then go, and God reaps it with that prayers that you've already prayed. Will you do that? Will you tell me, and I don't mean any harm by this, I'm just trying to emphasize and make an exclamation point. Would you tell me it's worth your while to come here and tell me that I can change some things? I didn't hear anybody say that. And say, I intend to. Mark Morgan and his family and this church has had this, say, just for me. Just for me. And say, I intend to change. Say, it's going to change me. Say, I'll never be the same. I'm going to wake up my neighbors. I'm going to pray my family under conviction. I'm going to pray back to backslidden sons and daughters. And the MIAs, the missing in action. I'm going to disturb them with my prayers, and they're going to hunt me up. They're going to hunt me up. Yeah, I'm seeing it happen. Just say that for me, missionary. Say, I'm seeing it happen. But say, you ain't seen nothing yet. We need every minister, from the lowliest evangelist to the highest official, to be ignited and reignited with a holy flame of prayer and evangelism. That masterpiece. We need to wake up every church in this state, in this great movement, to mighty, fervent, persevering prayer and loving others, and avoid people that are divisive. Because the Bible didn't tell you to mark even the bad people, bad stuff. He told you to mark those that are divisive, the gossipers, the people that try to divide. You better get together with God's people if you intend to go to heaven, where we're going to be one family, just one, just one, just one. We're fighting the malignant forces of hell. We don't need to fight one another. We need this to spread like prairie fire, fanned by a raging wind, until this church goes forth as bright as the sun, as fair as the moon, and as terrible as an army with banners. Do you know that I'm stronger than I was when I first stepped up here? And I've already put out a hunk. I may not look like a hunk, but I got a hunk. I mean that, folks. You don't know what the Holy Ghost will do for you if you'll Do you know that if it's real, I establish authority in the heavens that lets the devil know something. I can prove it to you by Hezekiah taking a threatening letter from old Sennacherib. And he took it to the house of God and spread it out. Authority. When he read that letter and spread that out and said, now God, you read it, and it's your purpose, it's your cause. And when God read it, he sent him word, and he said, he ain't coming into this city. No, all for, even for David's sake, he's not coming into this city. All you got to do, honey, is just to spread this out. When I do this, I'm establishing something in the heavens. He ain't coming into this city. God's going to fight our battles. You don't have to worry if you'll do this. Say, you're making me hungry, but not hungry enough. I don't want you to ever be the same when you walk out of here tonight. Now, I mean that. Say, I was good before I ever got here. Come on. But I'm going to be gooder when I leave here. I might have been worse, but I'm going to get worser. I might have been bad, devil, but I'm going to get badder. Hallelujah! No. The apostles that you claim to identify with gave themselves to prayer and the word and exhorted every New Testament church. Here's just a few of it. First of all, prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray always with all prayer, in the Spirit, with all perseverance, for all saints. Continue steadfast in prayer. Pray for us, brethren. Oh, that men would pray everywhere. So we need apostolic, powerful, prayerful pulpits and mighty praying churches, praying with all prayer at all times for all men in all perseverance, meaning to push, to enforce with mighty, unceasing prayer to reap this great and final harvest. And it's out there. It's right here in this city with a sweeping revival and the restoration of all things, because God promised, I will restore. I will restore the years that the locust, the caterpillar, the cagaworm, the farmer worm, and as Brother Mang used to say, all those other worms. I'll restore it. It'll be as though nothing ever happened. I'll forgive you. I'll blot it out. I'll cast it all in the sea of forgetfulness. It'll never be remembered that you did this or that or the other. Say, thank God for the blood. And say, God, restore to me peace, joy, happiness. He'll give me all of that. Are you understanding me tonight that that's the book? That's our contract. That's our covenant. That's our covenant. He'll do it for every one of us. You don't have to sit here condemned about nothing. And you don't need to let nobody else condemn you. Because God said, if I don't condemn you, don't be condemned by nobody else. And even if your heart condemns you, I'll take care of that for you. I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you. We've got a God that's in the saving business. He wants to save, Brother Hughes. He don't want to destroy. He don't want to get rid of us. He wants to heal us and help us and save us and cure us and deliver us. Say, I love that kind of preaching. I do too, because there's not a one in this building that don't need His mercy and don't need His love and His forgiveness and His restoration. And He said, if you will, I will. I'll fight your battles. I'll go before you. I'll open doors that will amaze you and astound you. And God's going to stand behind this that I'm telling you here tonight. Yeah, she's shaking her finger at me now. I'm loving it. That's what I want. And God, yes. So even we old people can do what I'm talking about. But this is no time for casual praying. We must be a people with a cutting edge of mighty prayer, struck from the anvil of this world's anguish, that would disrupt, dislodge the satanic powers in the structures of our cities and snatch souls from the yawning mouth of a burning hell. Prayer, again, I tell you, is the currency by which God operates His economy. And if you haven't sent up any prayers, you know, before His throne, there's a golden altar. And on that golden altar, there are huge vials. Or bowls, let's call them bowls, where he gathers up your prayers. I've got many bowls up there on that altar in front of His throne with some of my family's names on them and others. And let me just tell you, bring me back to this, because I want to tell you about another doctor that's standing in Alexandria that even helped me with popsy. And he comes up to me when I'm headed for Indiana in November, and he comes up to me and he says, how are you doing? And I stand up and I said, Dr. David. And he said, yes. He said, this is my wife and my daughter. Said, she's a doctor. Said, we're going to Florida. I'm to speak to all the doctors down there, because he's very renowned. And he said, I just wanted to speak with you and see how the family was doing. We go on to get on the plane. He seats his wife and his daughter. And then I'm seated up at the front. He comes back up to me, and he looks down at me, and I look up. I didn't stand up. I look up, and he said, I had a dream about you. And I said, you did? Tell me about it. He had told me back in the waiting room, he said, this is the first time I've been out since I was operated on. But that's been about 3 months ago, he said. He said, I was a very, very sick man. Well, I didn't pursue that because his wife and daughter was there. So when he comes back up there to me on the plane, he says, I was in IC unit. And he said, you came in and you took hold of my hand. And you said, Dr. David, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be all right. Now, can you believe that? That doctor was not ashamed to tell me that. And then, let me just tell you that I've got to go on. Oh, huh? Yeah, and must have been about, it was just before because of the times, 2 weeks before because of the times. I always go to bus routes because Brother Mangan started that years ago, and it's always in the prayer room to the right of the pulpit. And I'm sitting there in the bus route, and there's a lovely lady who walks through, and I think it's a woman of the city that's going to be counseled with pastor, because a lot of them do. But when she comes back through, I see how beautiful she is, and I stand up and I greet her. And a lot of our Pentecostals would have, please forgive me, but I just want to show you us. They just sit there. They just sit there. I get up and I meet her. And I tell her what I thought when she walked through. And I see what a beautiful... She said, well, you don't know me, but she said, 42 years ago, I came to one of your big celebrations here at the church. And she said, I was heavy with child. And the doctor had pronounced a terrible woe and a terrible thing. And I was just devastated. And she said, you took hold of my hand. I'm telling you, folks, say, let him out. Let him out. She said, you took hold of my hand and you prayed for me and you looked at me and you said, you're going to have a miracle baby. She said, well, let me tell you about that miracle baby. He's your doctor in this city now. He's the president of the Rapids General Hospital. He has been celebrated as the number one doctor of Louisiana, and his picture is on all of the billboards around here saluting him as the number one doctor in this area. Say, I can do it. All you got to be is a can do it. And a can do it can do it. Go ahead and clap your hands. Mark, how much time do I have? No, really. I mean business right now. Come on, talk to me. 10 minutes? I don't think she knows. This gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ says dynamite. But it's moving at a slow pace because it is not ignited by mighty prayer and loving of immortal, never dying souls. But it will neither be slow nor dull when projected by the energies of an unceasing prayer, because the gates of hell can't stop this. Our prayers and witnessing puts the battle in God's hands. The gates of hell can't stop it. We are many and mighty, talents, gifts, machinery unsurpassed, but many of us who are professedly orthodox, and thank God so many are, yet the sad fact remains far too many of us are not men and women of mighty, fervent, unceasing prayer, are lovers of souls, and proverbially we are picnicking at the mouth of hell while nations and cities and homes and families and, yes, our own churches are in serious condition. Do you know what Jesus told the church at Ephesus? I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And I know you can't bear those that are evil. And you've tried them which say they're apostles and are not. And has found them liars. And has borne and has patience. And for my name's sake you've labored. And you have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. You don't love souls. You don't love going to church like you used to. You don't love the things of God like you used to. But you say, I've got the Holy Ghost and everybody else is going to be, oh, la, 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 la. God said, I've got a problem with you too. That's the way I feel about it. And I'm about as whatever as you'd think. Really, I am. I'm acid about this truth. I'm acid about living for God and this beautiful separated life. But let me tell you what. What I'd like to tell you, get just that bold about the things that's going to be for eternal. Never dying immortal soul. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. Not more eloquent preachers promoting more and grander programs and all of that. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So it matters little how good you can preach, organize, or administrate. The natural man, apart from God, he's doomed to failure and defeat. Our strength becomes enervated. Our minds weakened. Our fancied powers are reduced and depleted. Even young men shall faint, and the resilient youth shall become weary. But those who know how to wait on God in prayer, they will soar to heights unknown. They will invade the impossible. They will explore God's boundlessness. And they will set new boundaries of possibilities. There's nothing more effective on the face of this earth than the power of prayer and the far-reaching hand of faith. Prayer can break down arguments against God, every wall that can be built up against Him. These weapons I have, I can capture the most horrible rebels and bring them back to God. For nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer but that lies beyond the past, present, future, time, or space. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer but that lies beyond the will of God. To no other energy is the promise of God committed as to that of prayer. Upon no other force are the purposes of God so dependent as that of prayer. He who inhabits eternity, who created all things, controls all things, the sovereign Lord, stands before His universe, utterly unlimited and immutable. In an act we cannot fathom makes prayer identical in force and power with Himself. He who is the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, has put it all in our hands. He says, if you'll pray, He highly esteems those of you that will pray. Whatever you need, ask of me and I will give it. Take no rest and I will give you no rest. You just keep on asking. And with such exclusive, expansive words that will unlock, say, whatever, whenever, wherever, whoever, all, any, every, ask in my name and I will do it. That's why Satan will do everything. He'll try to stop you. He intends to try to stop you, young man. Do you understand that? Say, I've got my mind made up. Say, he's not going to stop me. Say, I'm going to be a prayer warrior. And I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm about to pray. I can pray. Go ahead, honey. That's what has to be done. Some young men born that will pray and catch on fire. That everybody will say, what have they got? I know what I'm talking about. I know what it's going to take. I'm going to soon be on the sideline. I don't mean no harm by that. These are coming on, and if they get a hold of this, you ain't seen nothing yet. Spain ain't seen nothing yet. Because I can pray and touch heaven, God's throne, have influence with angels. I can pray and touch earth, its circumstances, its occupants, its enterprises. Prayer ignores distances and laughs at obstacles. I can pray and touch Satan, impose a victory over him that is vested in the name of Jesus. There is no limit to what prayer can do. It goes through stone walls. It passes locked doors into the inner room and touches the heart of man. And there changes his discussions and decisions and bends and unbends his will. And from Genesis to Revelation, the whole book is literally a library of resources in the practice of prayer. So try it without it. You're not going nowhere. You're not going nowhere. Care who you are. Your home will fall apart. Brother Hughes will tell you that. And he'll tell you when you get through counseling with him, you got to go to God and get something straightened out. And when you fall in love with him, folks, you'll fall in love with your wife and your husband and your kids, and you'll get everything straightened up, or you'll be lost. You'll just be lost. God put no limit on his ability to save through prayer. Nothing's too hard, he said. Nothing's hopeless. No accumulation of difficulties. No conditions are despairing. There are no adverse or inexorable conditions. Because he's committed his purpose, his proposals, his promises to prayer. Prayer is the only power in the universe to which he would yield. Now, I'm coming down for a landing. So just be patient. I'm just about there. When we went to Alexandria, I was 23 years old. Looked better then than I do now. But it's okay. Nobody gets to stay that way. Facelift won't help you. Everything else is falling. When you got a fire in here that's from heaven, that came from the altar of God, you don't have to worry about how you look. And I try to look as presentable. I look fairly well tonight. You try to look as good as you can because you're presenting yourself to a world that's carnal. They don't know anything about God. They don't understand the spiritual thing. So I got to grab them before I can really grab them. Okay, that's good. We followed Brother and Sister A.T. Morgan there. She was a teacher for the women, he for the men. I was 23. I'd been an evangelist wife. I played the accordion and sang and smiled, prayed in the altar. I got on my face in that old 14. I'm telling you how you can get it and never lose it. Because I've never stopped. And I'm going to be 87 5 weeks from now. Celebrate with me. I'm going to be running around praying and laying my hands on people. Went into the IC unit yesterday. My sweet Glenda, she owns all the McDonald's there in Alexandria. Even the one in Rapids Hospital where it just goes all the time. And Anthony preached her husband's funeral. And Glenda's been coming ever since. She was found as a young woman, had a heart attack, and they put her right into IC unit. She was operated on today. I haven't got to hear her because I haven't been able to reach pastor, and I wanted to find out. All I'm telling you is this, that woman, when she was lying in there, and the senator's wife that is close to them, another senator, she was sitting there when I went in there. I said, I just got just a few minutes. They won't let me come in here only to just touch you. And I laid my hands on her, and she began talking in tongues, and I stood there and talked in tongues. I can tell you this, folks. I'm going to make this real, or I'm going to quit talking about it. I'm not going to make a fool out of myself if this is not real. But if this is real, you better get out of my way. Because I'm coming after you. A price was paid for me to feel what I'm feeling right here tonight and to have this energy. You don't know, you don't have any idea. I challenge you to read the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Luke. And the two of them were not even apostles. Mark and Luke were not apostles. But read their account, but then read John's. John goes all the way back. One of them goes back to Abraham, and another one just starts. Mark says, well, I'm just starting with his own ministry. All I'm telling you, read what any of them wrote about how they treated him, what he paid for us to have this meeting. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me wake up to this like I never have. Let me wake up to this like I never have. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the drama if you don't wake up to this. You didn't get the Holy Ghost to be some little Cupid doll sitting on a pew. We got to wrestle people out of hell. We got to get our own family saved. I want to be saved. I want to pray people through the Holy Ghost. Two Sundays ago, Pastor called them there to the front. I saw 35 people get the Holy Ghost right there two Sundays ago. This past Sunday, I saw 23. Pastor came to me and he said, there was a man from Louisiana College that he's the, I forgot. I didn't even hear what he said, but he's something over there. And I was something there.
Yeah. Come on.
Big something. Oh, that's the way I feel.
Yeah.
You can forget this outer thing and all the things they say about me that goes in one ear and out the other. Because, honey, you don't let none of that stay there because next week I'll hear all the other stuff. And you just let them both just go in and out of there. You just keep your eyes on that purpose. And you just keep a praying there. And when you're going to church. I've got it. And I'm not going to lose it. No, you didn't say it loud enough. Oh, no, that ain't good. Well, I'm just about through, but you can be seated. I got on my face in that old 14-foot ceiling parsonage that every time it rained, you had to move your bed. Living room furniture were car seats out of the old car. I didn't care. Not then. And a table lamp somebody had won at a Stanley party. But I told the Lord, I'm not eating for the next few days because I can't face that class that this woman that is a student of the Word, and she's been teaching. And they said I couldn't do it, but God said I could. But I said, I won't go in there without that anointing. But if you go with me, I'll go. I want that power. I want God, and I want to love people. I did as Aksa, which is Caleb's daughter. She looked at her dad, and she said, you gave me a poor man. You're a rich baron. You gave me a poor man. I'm not going to live a threadbare life. You gave me the lower nether springs. I want the upper springs. I'm not going to take a dry land. Do you know she got it? Well, that's the way Aksa felt. I said, God, I didn't ask to marry a preacher. And I sure didn't ask to come to Alexandria. Now, here I am. What are you going to do with me? I'm fasting. I'm doing without something. I want something from you. Say, you got it? Yeah, I got it. Well, let me just tell you. The superintendent of the Sunday school came in and sat in on me and was going to check me out. Do you know that everybody came to see what the new preacher and his wife was like? All the MIAs that had ever been there and the backsliders. Do you know that 5 people while I was talking got the Holy Ghost because I'd been fasting and praying? Say, God will confirm this. God will confirm this from heaven. Say, you don't have to be a big somebody. You can just be a nobody. But if you'll be a nobody and let the Lord be somebody, say, we'll do it. One Sunday morning, the altars were lined from wall to wall, and I was on the platform playing my accordion, keeping the music going because that's all we had. I began to weep, and I said, Lord, this motley crew, is this all you've got for us at Alexandria? He spoke to me and said, I'll see what you do with these, and then I'll give you the others. And do you know, Mark can tell you the others that are there. God has been so good to the church in Alexandria, but I will tell you that for 40-some-odd years, and before that, it was so small until we'd go 1 week every quarter when we'd change Sunday school literature. The prayers and the voices of God's people in prayer never goes out, the sound of it, in that church in Alexandria. And that's been going on for over 40 years. So they're being drawn in there, judges and doctors and all. They'll come by there and they want what they've got. Judge Davidson walked me out from that G.A. Mangan Auditorium last night over there. And he said, are you going out there by yourself? I said, my armor bearer goes with me everywhere I go, Judge. All I'm telling you, folks, if you'll put this first, if you won't get discouraged about your family and your children and your Sunday school class and your ministry or anything else, say, God will, God will, God will do it. And he's going to do it. And I'm sure enough closing now. You can do what you want to about everything. But Rapids General Hospital, room 626, June 17th to 2010, the greatest soul winner, prayer warrior, disciple of Jesus Christ that God could make out of a human being, a sinner saved by grace, lit the fires of revival and evangelism that are still burning in this generation, prayed through the tabernacle plan every day for 73 years, plus revival and soul winning praying, and walked in that church for 2 hours every day, praying for every chair in that auditorium every day, every day, and built one of the greatest soul winning churches, praying churches. He heard that same voice calling him from the lower to the larger spaces above. And while in the throes of that translation, he reached out and laid his hands on me and prayed for me the last time, because he had put me to bed every night for 6 to 7 years with his hands laid on me with prayer, praying that God would use me in the ministry and that I would be so sold out to God that I would not care about other things and let them become secondary to the first thing. And so I have lived with that. And then he prayed for Anthony and Mickey and Gentry and Michael and Jeff, Terry and Melanie and Kendra and Braden. Brother and Sister Tenney and our entire church staff were there. He laid hands on them and prayed for them, and then God took him. But his life story reveals on and on he went. From the night he heard God's voice, he never looked back. He never wrote and rested on his laurels. He never wrote his memoirs. No status quo for him. Onward, outward, upward again. Please excuse me, but a woman in that city had a dream. And she said he came, and he had tried to win her. He came to her, and he told her. He said, I prayed much for your family, and your family is very blessed. She came and told me this. And your family is very blessed. He said, my family is weeping for me, and that church is even weeping for me. But he said, I am pouring out more. My influence is being poured out more now than it ever has been. And the prayers that I prayed for you are not over yet. That's those bowls right here in front of that. So all I want to tell you, don't forget the power of prayer and fasting, the power of all night praying. Don't forget supplication, pleading, and agonizing and travailing prayer. Because I saw one Thanksgiving before old brother A.D. Urshan died, and Popsy, that you're going to buy his book, Popsy was pastoring in Beaumont, and they both came for Thanksgiving, and Mumsy was dying with emphysema. The doctors in Houston had given her up. My sister was at the piano that wrote this book. She was at the piano. Old Brother Urshan had been there for 2 weeks in that front bedroom. Wouldn't come out to even eat until late in the evening. You could hear him groaning in prayer. Groaning in prayer. We were there on that Thanksgiving. My father, a man of prayer that prayed no less than 3 and 4 hours every day. They were both there. My mother lying on the couch. My sister at the piano playing, old brother A.D. with his elbow on that piano, and started singing some of those Persian songs. And the presence of the Lord filled the place, and we prayed for Mumsy. Mumsy was healed. There came a knock on that front door, and the woman said, I'm rushing. And the woman said, I was driving down Rapids Avenue, and something pulled me toward this house. I said, come in. We set her down. The woman began to cry out in that presence that was in that house. And she began to weep and repent. The woman was filled with the Holy Ghost. There came another knock on the door. It was a woman from Henson Street. And she came and she said, something drew me in here. This is and she got the Holy Ghost. This is Thanksgiving Day, folks. I'm talking about what prayer can do. This is Thanksgiving Day. Everybody is off that day. So then, before that day is over, backsliders, this one driving by, my house is full of people like it's a church house, because prayer had been made and it was circling that city and drawing and pulling people in there. Now do what you want to with this. Raise your hands and cry out. Go ahead and talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Let it sink in. I cannot fail my Lord. I cannot fail. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's got to get in you. It's got to sink in. Cry for your children. Cry for your pastor. Cry for your church. He has never failed me yet. Every promise he has met. And I cannot fail my Lord. I cannot fail my Lord. I cannot fail my Lord. He has never failed me yet. Every promise he's already made. And I cannot fail the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let this be ingrained in every one of us. Let this get a hold of us until we may even spend this night in prayer when we get home. Wake us up about our children. Wake us up about the people, our neighbors, our workers, and those around about us. Take the sleep from our eyes and the taste from our mouth. Go ahead back there, that woman crying out. Oh God, just let it pour out. I cannot fail. Go ahead and cry out here for just a few minutes.